Good morning, and welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. My name is Liz, and I will be your lay leader today. I want to welcome you here into a collaborative and creative space where you are worthy of contributing to a larger whole, where your thoughts, ideas, personhood, body, and experiences are respected and acknowledged. Today, we will light the chalice. Spencer will help us with that this morning. And we light this chalice with the intention of honoring our shared faith. Please listen quietly as only I say the words of affirmation. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another. Thank you. Today, we want to take note that Washington County has moved back into being high risk. With low in-person attendance, we still want to stay spaced apart and masked while indoors and keep the religious education classes for children outdoors. While we're happy to continue doing hybrid services for the foreseeable future, we need to be mindful of COVID, and this means that our in-person coffee hour has been suspended. As of now, there will be no singing in the sanctuary. Today's service will be different in other ways, too. You may notice in your order of service that several members of the church have already contributed to the overall components of today's service, and as we go along, others of you will have opportunity to participate as well. One of the ways that people at home can participate in today's service is by writing in the YouTube live chat, which will be displayed on the screen later on, after the time for all ages. For those of you at home, if you want to participate, you can think about and type into the chat one of the following things for each of these categories. A fantasy or nature location, a mythical creature, a medieval career choice, an item, a magical power, a type of fruit, a reaction to poison, an article of clothing, and your favorite color. And I know that's a lot. That's a long list. That's 9 things. You probably can't keep that all in your head. If you are at home, you can check your email for a message that I sent out to the Wolf Bulletin Board yesterday or the day before, about this service. And all of those things I just said are in that email, so you can go to the YouTube chat. There are instructions on how to do that, and when it's up on the screen, we'll be able to see your answers. And that way you can contribute to the ad lib portions of our collective story. For the people in the audience here today, you will also be able to make choices as we go along. When we get to that part, I'll let you know. but first, okay, something that we all expect from our services. Please listen quietly, remembering that we are not doing in-person singing at this time, and watch Spirit of Life. The song Spirit of Life really touches on exactly what is central to the UU faith. And that is the goal of today's service as well. To face decisions in a fictional story together and use our UU principles to navigate those situations in ethical ways that reflect the kind of people we want to be. And even though it's just a thought exercise, a pretend fantasy story that we'll be creating, we want to remember what Kurt Vonnegut said. We are what we pretend to be, so we must be careful about what we pretend to be. So keep that in mind as we move forward in the service today. Today's time for all ages story reminds us that bravery often comes from curiosity. And as we move forward in our service, we can remember that the things rooted in love come from being curious and compassionate and brave.
Spooky Old Tree by Stan and Jan Berenstain. Spooky Old Tree. Three little bears, one with a light, one with a stick, one with a rope. A spooky old tree. Do they dare go into that spooky old tree? Yes, they dare. Three little bears, one with a light, one with a stick, one with a rope. A twisty old stair. Do they dare go up that twisty old stair? Yes, they dare. Three little bears, one with a light, one with a stick, and one with the shivers. A giant key, a moving wall. Will the three little bears go through that wall? Do they dare go into that spooky old hall? Yes, they dare. Three little bears, one with a light, and two with the shivers. Great sleeping bear. Do they dare go over that great sleeping bear? Do they dare? Well, they came into the tree. They climbed up the stair. They went through the wall and into the hall. So, of course, they went over that great sleeping bear. Three little bears, without a light, without a stick, without a rope. And all with the shivers. How will they ever get out of there? Up a ladder, through the floor, down a slide, and out a door. Three little bears running fast. Home again, safe at last. The end.
Okay. Before I start our collaborative story, I want to remind people that are at home to go to the the comment section of the YouTube live video. Check your email that I sent out for the suggestions you have for our ad lib moments in the story so that you can participate. It's okay to submit more than one answer, and I will try to use suggestions from as many people as possible in the chat. So let's go ahead and pull that up. Imagine a scorched plain of earth ravished by the five elements that make up all life in an unforgiving universe. An earth tormented by the screams and misdeeds of the very creatures living upon it who depend on its survival as they blast through a galaxy swirling with the colliding forces of good and evil. Water broiling and swirling with eddies and oceans, lakes, rivers, carving through rock like a hot knife, teeming with tentacles, merfolk, deep-dwelling ancient gods, hidden below the crashing tides, a vast web of monsters that land dwellers cannot even fathom in the horror of their worst nightmares. Fire coursing through underground pressurized cracks, venting steam into the suppressive atmosphere, a desert stretching of multicolored sand under a cruel sun, dunes covered in the crawling shadows of dragons, and even the rocks are charred from the long-forgotten wild magic of mad mages. Forest, twisted and choked with invasive vegetation, packed with the howls of abominations and beasts yet unnamed, sentient, colossal fiends of all shapes and fantasies, where the timed beat of the hooves of the fey folk work as one heart, pushing the globe to continue its orbit through space. Necropsy, decay, and putrid death sunk into the always dark caverns, moist with the viscous, unending deliquescence of warty, omniscient fungi. Swamps and the shade abuzz with the groans of ghosts and mosquito wings and hidden terrors stalking prey and friends alike. And air, the winding, memory-bound glass and gravel heart of every city, ruled by angels and the tired lungs of those precocious and imaginative humans who serve them. The brick and musical apex where all elements collide into the bubble and burst of civilization. This is the world you inhabit. You are a knight, part of the order of the flaming chalice, a flame and a never-ending circle emblazoned on your shield. You have a keen mind. You seek justice and temperance, and wherever you travel in this world, you are recognized as a member of the Order of the Flaming Chalice. Sometimes respected, sometimes loathed, but always known. On foot now, you pass under a summer sky, turning from silver to pink to teal to deep smoky blue as the sun is setting. It's warm, and the constellations emerge in the sky above you. You are not tired. Waterfall. France? Mm-hmm. Waterfall in France. A waterfall in France. You're making your way towards a waterfall in the countryside of France. And as you walk, moving south, the setting sun, now gray dusk to your right, you hear a sound. What's the sound? Anybody?
Roaring.
You hear a roaring. You know this sound. It's the call of, can we scroll up and find a beast? It's the call of a centaur. I see that there. It's the call of a centaur. You follow the sound around a corner. If you don't know what a centaur is, half body of a horse, torso, head of a man, or lady, or other wise human. You follow the sound around a corner into the darkness of the night, but in the cloudless sky, the white-blue light of the summer moon crests over the horizon and lights the sky and the area around you, and you are able to see. The centaur beast is trapped, its legs and neck wrapped in vines, pulling it closer to the ground, its breath rapid. It snarls when it sees you. Around it on the ground is blood. And you know a few things about blood. First of all, this is human blood, because centaur's blood is black. And second of all, it looks fresh. So you have options. Who would like to make a choice right now? You have options. You can approach the creature and help set it free, risking it attacking you, or you can leave it to face the justice it is serving for what appears to be murder.
Approach.
Both people say approach. Great. You approach the beast, and it struggles against the vines. As you look closer, you can see they have a faint blue glow of magic. Removing them will be a challenge. But you speak soothingly to the creature, assuring it that you mean no harm as you begin to try and cut away the vines. You can feel the tension under the vines as the huge body of the centaur begins to relax when it realizes you are trying to free it. But it's no use. The vines are thick with magic. Trying to think of what to do, you turn around to the path you started on, looking for something, anything that might help. And you see a person walking towards you, approaching on the path. Dressed as, let's see if we can find a good career choice here.
Kim said apothecary.
Ooh, apothecary. That's a pretty good one. Okay. Plumber by day, apothecary by night. You can see a person dressed in the robes of an apothecary, but with their pants slung low, indicating they moonlight as a plumber. They're walking beside a donkey, which is pulling a wagon. You flag them down, tell them about the centaur, and ask for their help. They reach back into their wagon for a tool, and they pull out, let's see what they pull out, let's see,
a rubber mallet.
Go with rubber mallet. Okay. They hand you a rubber mallet, and then they tie their donkey to a tree and follow you down to where the centaur is tangled in the vines. You take the mallet in your hands, and you can see written on it sigils and markings of an ancient language. The apothecary plumber says, "Old magic. This belonged to my grandfather. He was a mage of the West Winds, and it's all I have left of him, but it's powerful." You thank them and begin beating the vines until they fall free. You encourage your new friend to step back in case the creature is violent once freed, and the last vine falls away, and the centaur turns to you, snarls. You lift your hands up to try and calm it, to show that you mean no harm. But just then, from the corner of your eye, you can see the apothecary plumber pull a makeshift pipe wand from their robes, and before you can say anything to try and stop them, they cast a spell. Let's see what spell they cast. Levitation. That's a great one. Okay, they cast a levitation spell, and the centaur begins to twist and writhe as it lifts off of the ground, defying gravity with his enormous body. The apothecary plumber looks triumphant for a moment, holding their copper pipe wand and muttering, "They did it. They finally did it." They get closer to the centaur, and you shake your head, stepping back, trying to warn them, but they don't listen. They get too close, and the centaur suddenly drops back to the ground, reaches out, snapping and grabbing a hold of the apothecary. They scream, drop their wand, and the beast carries them away. What do you do? Do you take the wand and chase after them, wanting to save both creature and person? Or do you run back to the donkey and the cart and go as fast as you can to the next town to warn them of danger and seek help? I got two for chase them down. Okay, thinking as fast as you can, you pick up the copper pipe wand, the heat of its power grabbing into your veins. You can feel the lightness in your step as you are carried by the magic, lively after both creature and person. You can see them about to plunge off of a cliff, and you raise the wand, and you yell. What do you yell?
Fly!
You yell, fly! And the creature stops, turns, drops the person, and you fly to their side. They are wounded. You hold the wand helplessly, not fully trained in magic, poised, keeping the creature at bay. But you remember something that your grandmother said to you when you were little ones. Something about the flesh of a... Let's find a good fruit here.
Kiwi.
Okay. Something about the flesh of a kiwi rubbed into a wound mixed with a little fey honey. The centaur backs away from you, and you kneel before the apothecary, laying your cloak across them, and you go to search. It seems like an hour goes by, but you find some kiwi. You tear it in your hands. You pull a jar of honey from your knapsack, and you quickly mix them in your palms, rubbing the concoction into the wound. The person's breathing seems to stabilize. The honey stops the bleeding, but only for a second. In the darkness, you can see the apothecary plumber, the person you are so desperately trying to help, and suddenly their eyes snap open, and they reel back. As they, let's find a reaction to poison. As they begin to vomit uncontrollably, you smell your hand where you had rubbed the fruit and honey, and you realize that you've made a horrible mistake. In the light of the moon, you grabbed the wrong thing, and this is poison. You rip off, your... scarf. I saw scarf a couple of times there. You rip off your scarf and try to wipe off the bits and the liquids from the wound, but the person begins to convulse, their eyes rolling back. You start to panic. That's when you hear it, the roaring. The centaur is returning to you. You can see its neck stained in dried blood from before, its eyes wild with moonlight. It walks slowly towards you on its four horse legs. What do? You stay and trust the beast in your pursuit for meaning and peace? Or do you run, taking the wounded magician with you back to the donkey and the cart to get help for them?
Run.
You run. You grab the lifeless body of the apothecary plumber, now covered in vomit. You throw them over your shoulder and you run. You push through with all of your strength, and the sound, the hoofbeats of the centaur close behind you. You run until you see the donkey and the cart. You put the wounded person on top of some blankets in the back. You jump into the wagon, urging the donkey to run, and it does, up the path, hotly pursued by the centaur, braying in fear. The wagon hits a hole. The axle snaps. The donkey lurches and is pulled down to its knees. You fall off beside the road, tumbling. You watch helplessly as the centaur approaches the cart and the wounded person. You call out, but it ignores you. You are unable to walk, your leg possibly broken, helpless. Half of you waiting for your imminent death at the hands of this magnificent creature, but the other part of your heart longing and reaching for hope. The creature steps to you, sniffs the air, looks down at the apothecary plumber. It rubs its face with grass, looks up to the moon, and you see in its infinite eyes a tear begin to form. The salty liquid of the tear swells on its face and it bends down over the dying person, and the tear drops into the wound and everything goes quiet. The effects of the poison seem to subside. You gasp, heavily breathing as the creature sneers at you and approaches. There's nothing you can do, so you squeeze your eyes shut, and in the fresh snap of your leg, you can feel the hot, stinging tears drip into your flesh. Soon the pain is gone, and you open your eyes. You turn to the centaur, but it's already gone, disappeared in a puff of smoke, and what's left is a wisp of fuchsia. Is a wisp of fuchsia hair lying on the ground. You pick it up and your heart thumps loudly in your chest. You slip it into a pouch at your belt and begin walking again through the unforgiving and terrible land you call home, a place as beautiful and terrible and filled with hope that it becomes a little more gracious, a little more honest, thanks to you having been there. And that's our story, everybody. Thank you for participating. Thank you to the people at home. Thank you to the people at home who participated with all of your really great suggestions. This was kind of an experiment, and I think it went really well, and I'm really grateful to everybody who was open and willing to participate. Thank you so much. Now we are going to listen to a hymn, All the Creatures of Earth and Sky. Remember, no singing in the sanctuary today. So we're just going to watch the video. Thank you. I think we missed that video.
Okay, great.
I think we missed that video. So later on, go to your hymnals and read all about it. I could send it out in a link to the bulletin later. The hymn was picked by Annie. If you don't know Annie, she's wonderful, and we appreciate her contributions today. Thank you all so much for your participation in the service. Even if you were only listening, you were a part of the story today. In this time, we can reflect on our impact on our wider community as we collaborate to build the shared story of WOOF. During this time of our offering, please consider how else you can contribute to WOOF. You can donate financially by leaving money or checks in the baskets in the foyer, or by paying online or your mobile device. Instructions for that can be found in your order of service. Now please listen quietly as I say the affirmation of gratitude and giving. Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others. Thank you for all of the ways that you contribute to WOOF and our community. A reminder that there is... Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Thank you.
We will now extinguish the flame of our chalice, but not the light of our community or the brightness of our faith. May these remain with us until we meet again.